This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. This is going to be a super special show today. I have Mr. Jack Jolly and one of the greatest football teams that ever played in this area in the state of Tennessee, the 1950 team. Is that correct, guys?
That's right.
All right. Is going to be on today. So this is going to be special. Keep your ears on. I want to let you know that this show is brought to you by Caldwell, Banker, Barnes, Auctioneers, Ralph McKee, and J.D. Kite. And they have a don't miss auction, and that is today. Remember, that's today. The estate of Joan Bell will be sold at auction beginning at 10 a.m. A brick ranch home at 1918 Wiltshire Drive, over 2,300 square feet, will sell at 12 noon, and that will be tomorrow. All right, the well-maintained home has a living room, formal dining room, kitchen, den, master bedroom, and two additional bedrooms. See pictures and find out more at CaldwellBankerAuctions.com. Personal property will be sold before the home beginning at 10 a.m., including couches, a desk, tables, glassware, appliances, bedroom sets, tools, and more. Wiltshire Drive is just off Thompson Lane. Call 893-1130, 893-1130, or go to CaldwellBankerAuctions.com. Ralph McKee and J.D. Kite will see you this week at the auctions. Well, Jack, I wrote down all these names of the people that we had lunch today with. Ben Jones, I've known him a long time. Max and Jackie Goff, Jimmy Taylor, Billy Rogers, who is here, Dallas Cook, who is here, Madge McKnight Lewis, who was, I guess, our true Southern Belle, and still is, Earl Roberts, Campbell Brandon, Tommy Horde, Jimmy Earls, yourself, Fred Goodwin, and Larry Ralston. Did I leave anybody out? I'm talking to you, Jack.
Oh, you, me?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, Truman, that you start with the youngest person up here today that I would probably know everyone that was probably missed. No, I think that that's correct. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure I'm...
Do you remember seeing this team play?
Well, I was little, but, I mean, you know, I was behind them, but, no, I'm lying.
He is lying.
Yes, I saw them play, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I was on the 47 team, and I would like to have played against that bunch just to see how good they were. Would have had a tough time against us.
Now, what was your record? I can't remember the 47. Nobody remembers.
We were 10-3.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that was coming off of a two-win, five losses, and three ties.
Did you teach math in school by any means?
Huh?
Yeah. That does not go to 10-3, big boy.
Well, it's something like that.
Well, I know one thing. I bet you we, the 1946 team, had the most ties on its record of any team we've ever had. We tied Lewisburg, tied Lebanon, tied Manchester, and tied... No, I blocked a punt in the Shovel game.
We
won that one. But we had, we had a North Nashville tie.
How many ties was that? Five?
Four or five, yeah. Now, our coach, I don't like to be disrespectful to anybody, but
go ahead.
When you've got players that go out on the practice field and lay down on the dummies and smoke cigarettes before you get down there, you know, you don't have a lot of discipline on that team. Mm-hmm. Now, we had talent, but we didn't have any discipline. And
You didn't meet Mr. Pate at that time?
No, no. Would you like to hear that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was that summer, and they had a nice softball field out where became the practice field later on, or the next year, or that year. And I went over there to see a softball game one night. Mr. Pettit had been my coach, and one of the coaches, and he said, "Jack, I'd like for you to meet our new coach." And I walked over to the concession stand, and or the admission stand, and he said, "This is Mr. Lee Pate, Jack." And I said, "How you do, sir?" He held my hand out. Well, needless to say, it didn't get shaken. And he didn't say much. He just said, well, he did say a lot. He said, "Howdy." And that was about it. And I went on in, and I thought, man, that guy's a little odd. But he wasn't half as odd until we started football practice. But he changed the philosophy, the psychology, everything you can say in 1947.
He was the most structured individual I can ever remember, and he expected you to be the same way.
Well, you know, you have different opinions of him. Mm-hmm. You go through different periods with him. You love him, and then you hate him. And you love him, and you hate him on different things. Now, when you get out of high school and other things, you have a difference of opinion and things like that. But I used, now I coached football, I think, I don't know, 17 years, something like that, and basketball about the same amount. And I must safely say my daddy was a disciplinarian, too. And you knew him.
He was.
And so I was pretty well disciplined when I went with Mr. Pate, but I used a lot of his psychology when I was coaching. And I think even to 1988, when I was coaching baseball at Oakland High School, I was still using a lot of his tactics.
Now, he was more famous. He had some really great basketball teams. And Earl was on the very first basketball team that he ever had. But he was more famous for his football coaching. And Earl, thank you, Earl, you brought two of the greatest football players that ever played in the state of Tennessee. We had lunch today, and that's Dallas Cook and Billy Rogers. And I've heard conflicting stories, guys. I'll start with you first, Dallas. I've heard a lot of them say that you were the best football player ever. I've had a number of them say that Billy was the best football player that ever played. I'm going to let Madge kind of referee here, but I've also had some, you know, one or two that said Earl was okay, you know, during those days. But every one of you, your names have really carried the time era. I mean, you're still are talked to about today, just like you were back then. And how was it, Dallas, on that team when you were there?
I don't know who was the best, but it wasn't me.
Yeah.
All I know is we had a team that everybody liked, everybody enjoyed what we was doing.
Yeah. And that must have been different, especially playing for Mr. Pate in those different times.
Well, I tell you what, even after 4 years of Mr. Pate, I still liked him.
Yeah. You were tough, though. You were a one tough guy. From what Madge is over here shaking her head, yes.
Tackle a freight train.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't on the other end.
I wouldn't have wanted to be on that other end, I can tell you that. Now, you were telling me that, and I think you're just being modest. You were telling me that you were the slowest back on the team. And for some reason, being the slowest guy on the team really doesn't sound all that prosperous as far as winning games.
That is a true statement. I was the slowest man on the team.
Back.
Even Steve Ralston could outrun me.
Oh,
And see, that's what I don't understand. You were so good in high school, and then you went into college, and you were still a great ball player, and you played for two different styles of coaches and two great coaches, and that's Mr. Pate and Bubba Murphy.
Well, I liked them both.
So you pretty much were structured pretty well with both of them.
But I was still the slowest man on the team.
Dallas is being modest. He may have been the slowest man on the team, but he was quick off the starting line. He could run about as fast as anyone for 20 yards. Now, they may catch him after that, but by then he'd already done his job.
Get over closer to that mic, Billy. Okay. I don't want these people to miss any of these things. That's exactly right. And I was talking to Dallas earlier, and also Earl was telling me about one of the games that y'all played. You're playing the top-rated team in the state, and it was Springfield, I believe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they were always famous for having the toughest fullbacks in the state. I mean, somebody that would just knock your clock off. And tell me what happened on the very first play, Billy, when you were on defense and this big guy got the ball.
Well, they had a big fullback named B. Ashley, and he was all Mr. Everything. And we knew they'd try to run up the middle because every team he ever had, that's what they did. If they could beat you coming up the middle, that's where they ran all the time. So we were expecting him, and I was fortunate to meet him in the hole, and I think he fumbled the ball, and I don't know who recovered it, but we got off to a good start.
Yeah, I hear he didn't get off to a good start. I think he was kind of, what'd they call it, addled the rest of the game?
Yeah, he may have been.
Well, I might call it shell shocked.
how did you feel playing for Mr. Pate during that time?
Mr. Pate, like I said, he was a different type of person. He demanded that you do the right thing. Everyone pulled together as a team. Mm-hmm. I think that's what made us. And I think the whole team, he was difficult sometime, but I think the whole team took pride in knowing that they would stay out there and work and not quit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something that I'd never heard before. This was kind of like Mr. Pate was. He told us, Earl, do you remember this? I don't know. He told us the first year he was standing out there and he said, boys, what we do and what we say stays on this field, and I don't want it to be heard, talked anywhere. Well, we practiced that day. Well, I know one thing, two very good people, they're both deceased now, Bill Mason and Bobby McKnight, were out there watching the practice, because you could always go watch us practice. And first thing he did was run them out of there. And I remember that first practice. And then he went with that speech. Well, I went home that night, and Mother asked me, said, she called me Bub. Said, Bub, what y'all do today? I said, I can't tell you, Mama. What do you mean you can't tell me? I just can't tell you. Daddy came home that night. He said, Bub, how'd y'all do today? I said, I can't tell you, Daddy. What do you mean you can't tell me? Mr. Pate told us that we just couldn't tell anybody, and I never did tell him.
Jack, I remember one time that a father came out on the field to watch his son practice, and Pate went over and told him, said, well, I think you better get on the other side of the fence, and if you don't like it, you can take your boy with you. So he was going to get rid of two at once. That's Mr. Pate.
Well, he also told John in basketball, Earl, when, you know, John Sharon, Daddy came up there. That was at Cox Memorial, wasn't it? And he told
Yeah, it was.
And he told John, said, He told him the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah, if he wanted to practice, his daddy better stay home because he didn't want both of us out, both of them out there.
Well, I'll let it go back to the toughest guys in their era.
What's that? Are you back to the Dallas and Billy?
And Billy.
Well, I played with both of them, and I tell you
what. Well, you played 4 years there, too.
Yeah, and I enjoyed playing with them, but you have to make sure that you're doing the right thing because Pate would get you if you didn't. And if you were running a 100-yard dash and you weren't very fast, he'd ask you, say, is that as fast as you can run? If you said yes, he made you run more 100-yard dashes. Mm-hmm. If you said no, then you were loafing, so he made you run laps. So he had you no matter what, you know, which way you answered. So he took
out of this bunch up here, who do you think, including me, was the slowest?
Well, I know who probably ran the most laps. Maybe it was Dallas, but I don't know.
I don't know. I ran a lot of 100-yard dashes. I know that much.
All right, where are we? Come on back here.
Well, that's your show.
No.
I'm intruding today. Madge, you saw all these great ball players, and you went to every game. You were a cheerleader, and you were giving them impetus to play better. What did you think about these guys during that period? Did you realize it was such a special time?
I did. I really did. Because we were all so emotionally involved in it. And they were all so fine. They were just good men, good boys. Now, Mr. Pate was a tough cookie. But then there was behind them on the other side was Miss Perry Williamson. Did you ever know her?
No.
Well, Miss Perry taught my daddy at Central High School. And she came out and talked before every game and would throw those little arms up in the air and talk about spizzerinktum and that we were going to win. And they all, it was like they were eating red meat. Yes, we're going to win. But Miss Perry was an inspiration to that 1950 team.
You know, what's really interesting to me is you guys had an enormous amount of talent. It could have been a me type situation. Dallas, you could have said, well, you know, this is the best team because I'm on that team, or Billy or Earl or any of you back then. Do you attribute a lot of that to the way Mr. Pate coached at that time?
Sure I do. He was a lot of things. A lot of people didn't like him, but I liked him because he had discipline, and I appreciated that. And he made me understand if I wanted to play football, that I'd done it his way and all the time the best I could.
Now, he wasn't really the one that got you started playing football, was he?
Well, Mr. Pittard was to blame for that. He was giving me out my class schedule when I was a freshman standing on the west side of that old building out there. And when I went up there, and oh, by the way, that's the day I learned my name was Thomas. Before that, I didn't know that. Because he had called Thomas Cook 3 or 4 times, and I hadn't answered because I didn't answer to Thomas. So we finally got up there, and he gave me the schedule, and he grabbed me when I started to turn around. And he says, you see that little building out there? And I says, yes, sir. He says, you be there at 2 o'clock, says you're going to play football. And I says, yes, sir, and I left.
So you got drafted, didn't you?
I was drafted. I'd never seen a football nor a football game before that.
That's amazing.
You know, Truman, they were tough, but Earl, I think it was, told me anybody that saw the 1970.
Oh, I don't even compare.
Murfreesboro.
Is that where
team.
You were?
No, well, I remember they had about 16 players that went to major colleges.
That's right.
They sure did.
Well, I was a Tullahoma coach, and that I was a defensive coordinator. Now, we were fixing to come over in 1970 and play them. And we had a young coach over there that just came. Bill Baker came from the University of Tennessee. He had played at the University of Tennessee. And he thought, we got a chance really beating them, maybe. Kelton Garner was another assistant with me. And he walked up to me and he said, Jack, does he know who we gonna play tonight? I said, no, Kelton, he doesn't. But I'm gonna talk to him in a few minutes. And we came over here with 26 sophomores, and I don't know what, but here comes Central with 2,300 students with 32 players dressed out. We got 50-something dressed out, mostly sophomores. And I don't think but those 16 played the whole game. I think it ended up 60-something to six. And
how many of them had to go to a medical place?
Well, you're right that all the guys on there, my gosh, they went to Tennessee, they went to Kentucky, Oklahoma, they went to Vanderbilt, yeah. They went to Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous thing. You know, Mr. Pate, when integration started, he picked up two great basketball players and football players, and that really helped.
Okay, guys, we have a caller on the line, and put your ears on. Those of you who have ears, get them on so you can hear what's going on. Okay, caller, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. I will call in. I've been listening to that show. I play with you and a guy named Charlie Brennan, and we have a great team. I tell you what, I think we can beat that team 19. We can kick their ass. Well, I feel about it. Well, I think we're a whole lot better team. Y'all talk about and brag, but we're a whole lot better than that team. I believe that, by golly. And you know, we wasn't playing Portland in those little bitty old schools like that. You know, more trace. We played big schools when we played.
What team are you talking about?
What am I talking about? What do you mean? What am I talking about?
What year?
What year? Can you not hear? Can't count. I'm talking about in the 58 and 59, we were undefeated. Ask Truman Jones about it. He'll tell you how good it was.
We were a pretty good team at that time. But, you know, for the era, I think that's what you have to go by. You know, a lot of times they'll put you one team against another during special times, or it'd be in the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And you have to relate to that particular time, the really great teams, and you have to put them in that special time, because when you take all of the training that's available and all the techniques that have come and the medical advances and those things, you can't really relate, you know, who's the best overall. You really can't do it. You have to judge by the particular time, and I think for especially the time in the 50s, it was the early 50s. It was really special because football was becoming to the forefront here. It was something that drew the community together. And you're talking about, if you were in the early 50s, that is something you'll never forget. I mean, it was just, it drew the community together. It was just something special. And you can look at the people who came out of that particular era, the early 1950s, they are really super class type individuals. They really are, because they were taught. Some people thought Mr. Pate was probably too tough. I never really thought that, for the simple reason that look what he produced. He not only produced great ball players, but he produced people who have become extremely successful in their lives, just like the people that are on today. And we were blessed to have that particular team at this particular time. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Online bidding is now underway on Absolute Estate Auctions at RelientRealtyAuctions.com. Three tracks located at 7155 Bradyville Pike. Selling regardless of price, no reserve, no minimum. Bid now at RelientRealtyAuctions.com on the flattest, cleanest, best piece of land on Bradyville Pike. Multiple soil sites on each track, one including a home. See it now. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com through Thursday, July 19th.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
This is Janet Bowman at Mid-South Bank, and this is an awesome place for lunch. Great food. You can get in and out. Best service available in town. So if you're in a rush or not, come on in and enjoy the great food and great service.
Join the Bunganut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bunganut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hook & Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke and Associates.
Let's look ahead, and this is the Uncle Dave Macon Day weekend. Uncle Dave Macon Days kicks off Friday afternoon over at Cannonsburg. And throughout the afternoon and evening on Friday and Saturday, the Lions Club has their fish fry there at the log cabin at Cannonsburg, where Uncle Dave Macon Days are being held. And, of course, the motorless parade at 10 o'clock Saturday morning going down East Main. In addition to Uncle Dave Macon Days Friday through Sunday, the 117th Annual Sons of Confederate Veterans Reunion is going on through Saturday over at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. About 1,200 visitors here for that one. They'll have an encampment with reenactors over at Oakland's Historic House Museum. And on Saturday, a reenactment of the historic Nathan Bedford Forrest raid on our Rutherford County Courthouse. And on top of that, early voting July 13th through the 28th. And United Way's signature fundraiser, Red, White, and Blues, is Saturday night at 6 at Ronnie and Donna Barrett's home over on Southeast Broad. The tickets are $75 each for this United Way benefit. Phone 893-7303 for information about this Saturday's Red, White, and Blues. And those are WGNS Good Neighbor Events.
Hi, this is Mike, owner of Maple Street Grill, inviting you to check out our new website, online ordering, and download our iPhone and Android app at maplestreetgrill.com and just click on the icon to download it free to your phone. Maple Street Grill at 109 North Maple Street in downtown historic Murfreesboro.
What makes Murfreesboro Automotive different from all the others?
We try to go through every avenue to save people money.
Chuck Haynes at Murfreesboro Automotive.
They just might need some windshield wipers put on, we'll do that. If the vehicle needs another engine, we try to save money by going to some of these pre-owned lots and buy an engine or a transmission and install it.
Discover the difference at Murfreesboro Automotive. Just turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. They're on Ridgely Road.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with our great guest. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. Their company is different than any other you see in the local marketplace because their owner-operator is long-time resident Melissa Warren. That means they're hands-on, involved in your family's members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide clients what they want most to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules, said Warren. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly do care. And you can reach them at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet And you also can go by their place of business, which would be a great idea, 237 Castlewood Drive, and that's Suite H, and that's behind the Kroger's. All right, we have another phone call on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hey, Truman. Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Truman.
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you, I turned the radio on, and the first thing I heard was Lee Pate. That's one of the best programs I heard in a long time. And those two fellas there talk about how tough they are. I'm sure they were back in their days. But you come to picking out a player, I'd have to go with Ian Brown.
Oh, Ian was a good ball player. Tough as nails.
It was a lot of players come from Lee Pate as good athletes. You know what I'm talking about?
Sir, and, as good as they come.
Well, I just have to put it this way. He changed my life, what I wanted to do. Because if I couldn't do it his way, I had to go. So I had to move on. And turned out to be fairly good. I ain't bragging, but fairly good. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
And I sure appreciate it. But, hey, our opening date was put off to about 3 weeks. I'm hoping we get started in the 1st of September because they had so much work to do on the track to get it ready. But I'm hoping we'll find us an opening date, and I'll call you back and talk to you about that.
Sounds good, James. Good to talk to you. Yeah, James Clymer, I remember when he played, and he was one of these people that the only thing he wanted to do was hit somebody and hit them with their helmet. And
who was that, Ian Brown?
No, he was talking about Ian Brown. That was James Clymer.
Well, I had Ian.
You had him at Critchlow, didn't you? Yeah.
He played for me, and you're right. He was the only thing I had, and I ran him 97% of the time.
Why not?
But he was, and I really hated when Ian passed away.
Yeah, much too early.
Yeah, so many are like that.
How would you relate Ian there in Dallas? Ian Brown and Dallas Cook are an awful lot alike the way they play ball.
Yes, they were. There's so many players. I'm really telling, I go back to the 30s, to be honest, because my dad officiated football. Mm. I remember Burns Phillips, the late Burns Phillips, mm-hmm. when he was playing, and this was right before the war. Mm-hmm. For those people listening, know what we're talking about. That was World War II. If you don't understand that, if they got new history books, look it up and see what World War II was. Mm-hmm. And he was not the only one. Alan Prince, mm-hmm. Bill Nesbitt, guys like that. And I don't want to take up the time going there, but there were. I saw a lot of football games. I saw a football game on Kerr Field. How many of y'all knew where Kerr Field was?
I know. Yes.
See, they're old too. Mm-hmm. And I saw him play on Kerr Field, and then they moved. I'll be honest with you, I think it was after the war, mm-hmm. That was 1941. I think they played at a college, mm-hmm. And I know we played there when I was in high school, and y'all played there. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all played there.
Sure did.
In fact, Central had never played anywhere else except Kerr Field and there.
Where is Kerr Field?
Kerr Field is back over, not Vine. Is it Vine? Yeah, it's past, it's on Vine, not on Vine, but it's...
1000 block, East Main,
yeah.
Right back
at
that
yeah.
school.
Well, Earl can answer this.
Lord! We've had a crash.
You okay, Bill?
We've had an accident.
Billy took a dive off the stool, but he's coming back up.
Billy tried to tackle Brian when he went by.
Absolutely.
Brian is a little bit quicker.
Well, Kerfield was, it was right behind in the 1000 block of East Main on Vine.
Yeah.
So that's, they did away with it by the time that I was in grammar school, and then they started MTSU, and that's where they played the games from then.
You know, I saw one of the greatest games played over there in high school at that time. One afternoon, this was when John Dixon had come here.
Mm-hmm.
It was Isaac Linton came here, and they played Central there. And they had Leonard Staggs there, who later on, after the service and him going to Mississippi State and then out here, and he was great. And they beat Central. And I'll leave it right there.
Dude.
Hey, Joy, he's okay. He fell off the stool, but he bounced.
He's tougher than I thought he was.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, I apologize that, but if I were a betting man, like a horse race, I know who I would have bet on would have had the first accident up there, and you're looking at it.
Well, now you guys, you not only played for Lee Pate, but the one guy that coached that all the girls love was Bob Burke, and I know she was going to say
Bob
that.
God.
Oh, yes.
And a great athlete. The guy could do everything.
Oh, God.
But he seemed to have a way with all the players back then. It was amazing because you almost needed a little bit of a buffer between you and Mr. Pate, or somebody to keep you a little bit grounded, I think.
Well, he done it. In fact, he's probably the only one that kept me playing football because I thought it was a waste of time. But Mr. Burkett was a fine fellow.
Oh, yeah. He really was. And I still miss him. He called me not long before he died, and I'm so sorry that I didn't get to see him before he left us because he was special.
Have you ever heard of Pusher Howell?
Oh, yes.
Well, I was coaching at Smyrna, and whatever the case was, and he called up and got a game with Central at that time, and I was so mad. I said, why in the world did you get us a game with Central? And he said, because Bob Burkett's a coach up there, and I can beat him. I said, yeah, but Mr. Pate is the coach of the boys, and I'm not going to beat him. We'll be lucky just to stay on the floor in the first quarter. But we played them pretty good until, Robert Nunley. And Ed Lowry and all that great bunch.
Nunnery.
Yeah,
Nunnery.
They played. And I know we played them real close, at least I thought it was close. They beat us 11 or 12 points in their gym. And I was really proud of my boys. And when they came down, we were in a new school at Smyrna and a new gym that was really nice. It was so jam-packed. Well, they came down that night, and we got beat 30-something points that night down there. So Mr. Pate knew exactly what he wanted.
This was.
Yeah, they would throw it into Nunley, and of course he was
taller than everybody.
Yeah,
6'10", 6'11".
Than everybody, but it was enjoyable, and you know, it's kind of like Campbell Brandon out there today. I got beat by Central when I was at Walter Hill. In the finals of the district, and I walked down the floor to shake hands with Mr. Pate and thank him. And Campbell was on that team, and I said, "Good game, Mr. Pate. Thank you." And he said, "Okay, Jack." And and Campbell, he walked up to me. He said, "Did you come up and thank him or shake his hand?" I said, "Yeah, why? Golly, I can't believe that." I said, "Well, he didn't bite my head off.
Do you think they could have handled the 1960 team? Do you think they could have handled the Mighty Midgets? Come over to the mic, Earl. Tell me about that team.
Well, they were the most enjoyable team. I'm sorry for speaking out.
Yeah,
but
right.
They were the most enjoyable team to watch.
Well, have you ever seen a high school team that did not have a six-foot player on the team? Then that's someone named us the Mighty Midgets. And like Jack said, we had a good time, and we were undefeated until the last game, and lo and behold, Bell Buckle came to Murfreesboro and beat us in the final game. But they brought a few extras with them because there were a couple of fellows there that looked like they were about 25 when they came back the second time. And their coach walked around the square about 20 times on Saturday morning after he won. He had a better time than we did.
Now, what was your average height on that team?
Oh, I don't know. Dallas, what, 5'7" or 8 or something? Joe Johns was 5'10". And
Tommy Urey, how tall was
Tommy Urey didn't play that year. And
Bobby Pittard
was almost 6 feet.
He was 5'11", wasn't he?
Yeah, I think that's right. Let me tell you about Pate. We went to Bristol to play football, and that was a long trip up there. That was the year that we didn't lose any games. And after the and we were penalized, I don't know, 120, 130 yards that night. And
wow.
Mr. Pate never said a word. But after the game, he met the other coach in the dressing room. He said, "We won't be back." And I heard him say this. He said, "I will not subject the team that I coach to the type of officiating that we had tonight."
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad. And I played for him for 4 years in basketball and football. And I never saw him stand up and complain about a referee or anything. And, well, he didn't sit down and yell at his players. The players got out there and played the way he coached them.
Mm-hmm.
And in football, I never heard him complain to a referee. So that really is the kind of guy he was. So he taught you what you should know.
A classic example is when they played Tullahoma one time. And they had the team that Jack was talking about. Nobody could come close to them. They were beating everybody 30, 40 points and more every game. And that was before they had the play clock. And the team decided, the coach, that they were going to freeze the ball on them. And they did. I think it ended up something like 7-3 was the score. And I never will forget, Mr. Pate, he sat on that bench. I'm sure he was stewing. But he wasn't saying anything, wasn't making any comments on what was going on. And he was letting the guards play back. They weren't trying to steal the ball every time. And after the game, I still remember, he went over to that coach and told him, and just what you said, he said, "We will never play you again because of this." It took all the pleasure out of basketball. Can you imagine the fans sitting there, and I was one of them, sitting there watching that game where there was no game going on. It was just sitting stalling the whole time. So that's the way he handled everything. And you guys are a classic example of what he meant to everybody, because you guys are special guys, and a lot of it has to be attributed to the structure and all of the things that he taught you about what it is to be a man. You always handled yourself before the public the way you're supposed to. You always dressed nice. You always conducted yourself the way that you're supposed to. It'd be just like you're sitting in church. That's the way you conducted yourself the whole time in your life. Yeah, Jack.
I guess out of all of us here, Dolly and I were probably the last to see him. I don't know that. He was at Adam's place.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly and I had gone out there. I had a brother-in-law that was out there. He lived in Shelbyville, and he was an elderly person. And Dolly wanted to see Dr. Griever, who was a great teacher at MTSU, and she was very close to him. And she said, "Jack, let's go down where they are and go in and see Dr. Griever." Well, as we got over there and we were fixing to go up, I looked on the porch there in a rocking chair, and it was Mr. Pate. And I said, Dolly, I believe that's Mr. Pate.
Hmm.
And she said, go up and see. So I tiptoed up there just a little bit, and I couldn't see real well. I said, but I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Went on in, saw Dr. Griever, and he saw us just as long as he wanted to talk to us, 5 minutes, and wouldn't get out of here, you know. Now, we came out as we were going out, the lady that ran that thing, I said, is that Mr. Lee Pate out there? She said, yeah, sure is. Said, said, go out there and say hello to him. I said, are you crazy, lady? Well, I did. Went over, and he was asleep. I punched him, and I thought, oh, Lord, man. And he got up and looked, and I said, Mr. Pate, I'm Jack Jolly, and here's Dolly, you know. Yeah, Jack, you know, I'm telling you what, it was the biggest turnover of a person. Of course, when you're old, as we all are up here, when you're old and you really, anyway, it was pitiful.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him, Dolly talked to him, and about 5 minutes is all, you know, so we were going to leave. And he said, I never would believe this. He said, don't y'all go. Don't stay.
Mm.
I said, no, Mr. Pate, we have to have something to do. We have to get on. Well, y'all come back, Jack.
Bless his heart.
I left there and I thought, Lord have mercy, I've seen something. And then it wasn't long, about a week. I mean, no, I'm sure it was a few months later he passed on.
Well, Mr. Pate had a very big heart, and he didn't show it much to his football players or his athletes, period. But he fixed a spot on Don Moser's forehead and, you know, just sent him down to Dr. Kaufman and said, get that cut off. And Don says, well, you know, Mr. Pate, my family doesn't have insurance, and I'm not sure I can do that. And he said, the school's covering you.
Wow.
But that was one thing. But the other thing was when his wife, who was just a dynamite woman, and she fell out of the attic into the garage face first. And she was never the same. Mr. Pate brought her to the country club every day for lunch. He'd cut up her food and hand her food. And he was the sweetest man. And I thought, that big heart's been there all the time.
Yeah, and you know, I had the pleasure of having lunch with him a number of times after she had passed, and he was an entirely different man. He was just like I think he always wanted to be, because he told me at one time, he said, you know, Truman, he said, sometimes I wish I had done things different. And that's what he was talking about, is the relationship between him and the guys. But to me, I'm glad he didn't do anything any different, because I don't think any of us would have probably turned out the way we did if it hadn't been for him. I didn't realize until I was sitting down and talking to Dallas what a good athletic family that he came from, because I had forgotten that Nora was his sister. Did you know that?
Nora
Cook.
Oh, sure, I knew that. I played golf with
him. He had a brother, too.
Are you talking about the athletic family that Dallas came from?
Yeah,
Oh, shoot, I knew the Cook.
Yeah, she was a lot better athlete than he was.
Yes, I bet you she would have been a better football player, too, right? Is that what you're saying?
Tough. She could block a lot better, I think.
She was tough. There's no doubt about that. She was the greatest golfer. I mean, she started playing golf late in life, and, man, she was down in the 70s and nothing flat.
Well, she could beat me.
She could beat you. And, you know, she and Catherine Washington were a pair.
They were
maybe the two best girl athletes that ever came from this area.
Probably
that I ever saw.
In fact, they could probably have matched, as you were saying, Daz, a lot of the guys around here.
Well,
they could have.
Chuck, my son, was out there playing basketball one day, and Catherine came loping up that driveway, and she started taking the ball away from him and shooting, and he said, who is this? I said, Superwoman.
Does Catherine still play? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure, because She called me not too long ago and wanted to play, probably a year. But since I have my little eye problem, I'm not very good on the golf course anymore.
Hey, Earl, can I say something right quick? Earl invited me to the dinner today, and that was the greatest thing on earth. And I think one of the main reasons is my wife could get rid of me and marry Earl, or get him to marry her. She would.
Why would she be so foolish?
She thinks he's the most. Look at him. She honestly told me when he walked in over the, where we were eating Sunday, there's Earl Roberts. Said he's the most perfect looking person I have ever seen in my life.
Lord, don't tell
Look
that
at him.
To
I
all.
Said,
we'll have to
oh my
God. Tie him down.
I can't. You better cut those
that
off before I get
off.
The.
That lady's sick.
She just needs a little eye surgery, that's all.
Let me tell you a little story about Miss Pate. Miss Pate told me one day and didn't want Mr. Pate to know about it, but she said that every night that they played ball, that she would cook him a steak after the game.
Oh.
And if he won, he'd eat it. If he didn't win, he wouldn't eat it.
He would go outside and walk is what he'd do.
Well, and she told me this, and, you know, you have to believe the lady that's doing the cooking. Let me tell you a story about one game we had, and this was at Manchester. And it wasn't any special thing except Red Allen, who was our center and a good player.
Oh, God.
It had rained from Monday through Thursday, and Mr. Pate had called the coach at Manchester and asked if they would put the game off to the next night, and he wouldn't do it because they had a lot of big people, and they thought that they would, in the mud, they would get us. So we go up to play the game, and Red Allen, who was our center, said, I left my shoulder pads at home. And he said, I'll have to play. And he went over to Mr. Pate and asked him what he could do. And he said, well, you can do one of two things. He said, you can go sit in the stands or you can play without them. Well, luckily, Red's father brought the shoulder pad, so we took care of that problem. But I can remember playing that night, and Billy Rogers, who's standing next to me, he pulled out the guard for all sweeps that we ran or reverses, and I was running behind him and got a little too close to him and hit his foot, and he went into the mud, and I thought he was a motorboat because there was water running across that field like mad. You remember that, Billy?
I remember it raining real hard.
I remember that.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
I'm B.J. Smoman. I'm running for road superintendent of Rutherford County. As a road superintendent, I'll put my experience and leadership skills to work to maintain safe roads while being cost efficient. I have 14 years experience in road building and maintenance. I'm a lifelong resident of Rutherford County. I'm the most reliable and qualified candidate for road superintendent. I'm B.J. Smoman. I'd appreciate your vote for road superintendent. This message is paid for by B.J. Smoman campaign. I'm B.J. Smoman, and I approve this message.
Online bidding is now underway on Absolute Estate Auctions at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Three tracks located at 7155 Bradyville Pike. Selling regardless of price, no reserve, no minimum. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com on the flattest, cleanest, best piece of land on Bradyville Pike. Multiple soil sites on each track, one including a home. See it now. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com through Thursday, July 19th.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Jordan, an orthopedic surgeon with Middle Tennessee Medical Center. As the official health care providers of the MTSU Blue Raiders, we know the importance of getting players healthy and back in the game. Middle Tennessee Medical Center provides comprehensive orthopedic care with expertise to return each patient to an active and functional lifestyle. Our team is highly experienced in orthopedic and joint replacement surgery, which means better outcomes and quicker recoveries. To make an appointment with an MTMC orthopedic specialist, call 615-284-BONE.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
All right, this is the very end of our show, I'm afraid. And did anybody before we leave want to say anything hi or anything to anybody out there in the audience? Anybody at all? All right. It was your last chance. And this was one of the most fun shows I've ever had. Billy, you stole the show right in the middle. Yes.
Have you got just a minute?
Yes.
A fellow named George Harvey played on our team.
Yes, yeah,
sure.
And Jimmy Covington and Rock Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
Red Allen, Jimmy Neal, Bucky Hayes. These are fellows that are no longer with us, and I just sort of wanted to remember them because they were really an integral part of the team. So that's it.
Those are names that will never be forgotten around here. Well, you guys are special and always will be to me, and always be special to this community. And I want to thank each and every one. And I especially want to thank you, Earl, for getting everybody together today, because I think it was a story that a lot of people wanted to hear. And we will see you guys next Monday at 2:00, and we'll have the famous Butch Campbell on that day.